Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you are with us this morning, and we just love you, Lord, and ask that you'd help us to have a wonderful day and get ready for the going home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I checked it out this morning, and I can perhaps stand the whole time, but you know what? I'm kind of enjoying sitting, and you're sitting. I don't expect you to stand the whole time, so anyway, but it's actually become very comfortable that we can just talk to you this way. So Brother Bram said from Satan's Eden 267, well, he said, so humble you could miss it. Actually, it was from another sermon, but we're preaching it in this series. And from Deuteronomy 8 and 2, he says, and thou shalt remember all the days which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee. Now, Brother Bram's been gone for, 65 plus 25, 60. He's been gone for 60 years. I hope we don't have to go 70, because that's a full generation without the prophet. But remember, we've been preaching the last 2 weeks on resurrection, the attitude and then the atmosphere. And we shared with you where Brother Bram said, God is waiting on you, okay? He's waiting on us to get ready. So, and we're looking at this morning to humble thee and to prove thee. So God made them wander 40 years to humble thee and to prove thee. So what's he doing now? He's humbling and he's proving. And always remember, Alpha has become Omega. To know what is in thine heart, see, he's here as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Now, a lot of people say they believe the message. A lot of people are listening to the message. And yet Brother Bram says in the message, he said, you say you believe everything I say, Brother Bram. He said, that only means you can read. Did you know he said that? That's exactly the truth. And so if you're just listening, but you're not learning, you're not knowing. And if you're listening and preaching, and I'd say this to preachers, and I don't say every preacher is not called. Most of them, they have good intentions. But if you don't take the message to the word, you don't understand the message. And if you don't understand the message, I think that you should be playing tapes as a church. Okay, I'll just say that. I think Joseph is right. But I think the people should be playing them in the church and not at home. Okay, I mean, you can play them at home, but not for Sunday service. Brother Bram even told his own family, he said, get dressed, we're going to church. You know, and I've already gone over that before. So you know that the prophet always said, I preach everything Paul preached. And Paul said in Hebrews 10 that you must get together more so even as they see the day approach. So to stay home is laziness. To not study the message from the scriptures is laziness. Every person in here is going to be a king and priest. You better know the word or you're not going to be a king and priest. Because if you can just say, well, Brother Bram said, Brother Bram said, Brother Bram said, that means you're a parrot. Okay? You better tell Brother Bram said this because Paul said or John said or Isaiah said or Peter said or whatever. You better know it from the scriptures. So you should be studying the word to make study the word so that you are approved, okay? And you're not going to be approved if you don't study the word. You don't become a nurse if you don't study nursing, okay? You don't become a doctor if you don't study doctorate. You don't become any field if you don't know that field. And most people don't know the message. They just listen to the message. And, you know, I love that they're listening to the message, but it's not doing them any good unless they're understanding what Brother Bram's saying. That's why on Wednesdays we do listen to the prophet, but you know, the people have a good understanding of what he's saying. Sometimes you come into church, he's saying exactly what I preached the week before, or I preach what he preached on, and yet it was in my plan. I've been for about the last year, I've been 15 sermons ahead. I'm down to about 7 ahead. But you know, I don't change it because we listen to Brother Bram say it on Wednesday night. It's part of what we know, because we know the scriptures. And if you know the scriptures, when he talks, you know where he's talking from. You know, Paul's referring to Ephesians. Paul's referring to Galatians. Paul's referring to this and that. You see, so we understand the word. All right? And you can't understand the word if you don't have the token, because the token is the Holy Ghost. And 1 Corinthians 2 says, what man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God is in him? So if you don't have the token, you're not going to understand. So you're just a churchgoer, and so you, now you've made your church your home, and you're listening to church because it's convenient. I don't like that. All right? Now, I'm not saying you're going to hell. I'm saying wake up and repent. Okay, get ready to go home. You're not in any condition to go home at this point. All right, I better get back to my sermon or my wife will get mad at me. So anyway, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou keepest his commandments or not. So for 40 years, he was examining the heart. He's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, anybody know what scripture that is? It's Hebrews 4:11, okay? The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it's also John 1:1. God is the Word, all right? And there's other scriptures, of course. So the purpose of the delay is to test us, to know what is in our heart, and he is a discerner of the hearts of men. Psalm 9:12 says, when he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembers them. He forgets not the cry of the humble. Well, then whose blood is he making inquisition for? Yours and mine. The humble person who gets stepped on and pushed over and made fun of and mocked and everything else. God is making an inquisition for their blood. And he remembers, he forgets not the cry of those whose blood has been spilled. Okay, the humble. Now notice God always helps the humble. And he is just looking for us to humble down so he can take us home. Now, from the message Desperation, we read where Brother Branham said, now, God, the Creator, can make a set of lungs. I truly believe that we're on the verge. We are on the precipice. We are at the crossing over line. Now, remember, in his own ministry twice, there was a little girl, once from Germany, once from out west, whose eyes, they didn't have eyes, and God grew eyes while the people prayed, and Brother Brian prayed, laid hands on him. One girl in particular, when God performed the miracle and the eyes came into the eye sockets that were hollow, Brother Brian said, oh, I forgot to ask him what color. So he said, would you bow your heads again? And see, Billy Paul saw when the girl received eyesight, he said, I kind of looked up like this. We were told to bow our heads, but I looked up like this. And I saw two white streaks. They came in her eyes. All of a sudden, she had eyes. But she didn't have any color in her eyes. So Brother Brown said, what color would you like? She said, well, my mother always said blue or beautiful. So he asked the Lord for blue eyes, and she got blue eyes. Now, that is going to happen in the tent. All right? We're going to have those that are missing limbs are going to have limbs restored. Now, that only happens on lizards. But we have seen that. Even in our own ministry, there was a brother in Kentucky that his heel was cut off and God grew back the heel. So I'm not saying that that's me, that's God. He's the same God that William Branham, that did that for William Branham. Because Brother Branham didn't do that, God did it for him. All right? So those things are still happening today, and they should be happening with all of you if you believe John 14:12. All right? Now, God, he's a creator, can make a set of lungs, I truly believe. Okay? We're on the verge. We're on the precipice, you know, it's just around the corner. We're at the crossing over of one of the most muddiest things that ever struck the earth since the days of, and then, you know, I don't know why they don't have his entire message, but I do know why. Brother George Smith told me that they lined up 12 Wallensack computers, and when they were making copies, you couldn't put them into a disc copier back in those days. They didn't have them. They weren't invented. So they patch corded each one, and he put the master on number one, then one, and then 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, you know, all the way through 12. You would get about a moment delay. It might be a second, might be a half second, but you got a delay because they went push, 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 push. And then they all recorded, and this one they pushed to play, okay? So what happens is you got holes in the message. But now we can only be, you know, if you got the original, there shouldn't be any holes in the message. But I don't know what they did with the originals, okay? But now we can only be known as, it'll be so humble, see, what man calls mighty, God calls abomination. But what man calls foolish, God calls mighty. See, but now watch it. See, it'll be so humble that you'll miss it. Wow. That you'll miss it if you've not got the token there to examine it. You see? And having the token means that you can understand the things of God according to 1 Corinthians 2:11. For what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of man is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God knows. All right? Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, which is a token. And notice what the token is, that we might is for, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So if a person you're talking to cannot know the message from the Bible, they either don't have the token or they are just pure lazy. Now I know brothers that aren't even in the ministry that know more than the ministers in this ministry or in this message, because they study. And we've talked for 20 years and said, I can't believe how people just are so lax to come to church, let the preacher do the thinking for them, and they just sit back and they enjoy it, and they go home and they haven't opened their message, you haven't searched out things in there. I used to take this message and underline and highlight everything, then I took it to the scriptures to find the scriptures. Brother Vail preached I think 11 or 12 reasons why he's here, but he didn't say a whole lot of scriptures why he was here. Well, I took that and put about 30 scriptures on some of them and 20 on others and went through and found all the scriptures for. You see, you've got to know the word. You've got to follow. Look, you can't be a nurse without passing the test, right? You can't get a glorified body without passing the test. So when Brother Branham says, this old washwoman, she only had one tape. Well, she knew the tape. She knew the scriptures. She understood it. That's what you need to do. But we've become so lazy. Well, we preach our sermons from Grok. I don't, but I've heard that they do. And I think that's an awful thing, because Grok, he believes one thing one minute and another thing another minute, depending on what information he gets in. I've always known this. I've been in computers for 40-some years, 50 years, and I know that junk in is junk out. You can't get more from something, even though they call it artificial intelligence. Well, it is artificial. So it's not. It should be called artificial unintelligence. Then, because your brain can actually, in a second, can do over a trillion calculations. Did you know that? Your brain can make a trillion calculations, and it takes us a whole AI center that's costing billions, polluting the water, polluting the air, everything else, taking your electricity, jacking up your race because, but it can do about what your brain can do. So what do we need a supercomputer for? It's because we've gotten lazy. If you look at the 1911 test of a child going from 7th grade to 8th grade, I don't think there's a college student today that could pass it. Not all of it. I think at best he might get a B, but I doubt that. My sister, who was a English major at one of the finest English schools in America, she failed it, the English. I think every one of you would fail the math. Or the social studies. I mean, young people in this nation don't even know two or three states across from them. They don't. They think that Africa is a country. Now, that's kind of funny if you're from Africa. But there's, 57 countries in Africa? Is that right? About 57? Huh? More than that, yeah, because there's been some splits, like Sudan and North Sudan. Yeah, so anyway. But Obama thought that there was 57 states in America. You see, that's how dumb the education is in this country. They don't test people. They don't, the media gives them softball questions. Every politician gets softball questions unless they're the other party. And, they expect, what's your favorite color or what's your favorite ice cream? Well, give me a break. I mean, why would you ask a president of the United States what his favorite ice cream is? So it's just the whole nation has gone this way, and everybody's letting other people think for them And God wants you to think on your own feet. He wants you to think for yourself, okay? I got to get back to my sermon, sorry. All right, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, which is token, okay? That we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. You see, people say, well, I don't need a teacher. And yet Brother Brown said, well, the Holy Ghost is a teacher. Yeah, but he said, why did God send teachers? You know, I can show you where God put the fivefold ministry in. You tell me where he took it out. You see, they're just tearing up the message and taking a piece here that they like and a piece here that they like and say, well, if you just listen to the sermons, you get it all. No, because you don't understand. All right? You need a teacher. And God uses teachers to teach through the teacher. Okay? Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, which is a token, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So if I give you a quote from Brother Branham, I expect you to be able to give me two or three scriptures of what he's where he's pulling that information from. Because he was a word prophet. He wasn't a, well, let's see, we got a new message for the end time age and all the other gospel, everything else, just you throw it aside. No, he said, I only preach what Paul preached. So if you know Paul, you should know William Branham. All right? You should know what he was saying. It should say, ding, 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 yes. Ding, 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 yes. Ding, 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 yes. Every time he says anything, you ought to be able to reflect. That's what Paul said in Galatians. That's what Paul said in Ephesians or 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians. You see? All right. But the natural man, who's that? Those who don't have the token, receives not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So unless you have the token, which means you have been born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, you will never understand the things of God, which means you will never understand this message, because this message is just quoting scriptures. Now notice Brother Branham said, it is so humble that unless you have the token to examine it, you will miss it. This message is not foggy. You say, well, Brother Branham said this, and I just don't understand. The water's just so muddy. No, you've got a muddy brain because you haven't used the filter of the Word. If you use the filter of the Word, everything Brother Branham says runs through that filter, and you've got it straight, okay? So, you see, if you do not have the Spirit of God, how in the world do you think you will understand the things of God? There is no way that you can, and God says right here in the Word, that means you can't understand this message either. There is no way you will ever understand the things of God without having His Spirit to do so in you. But he that is spiritual, that means Spirit-filled, judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And how can you have the mind of Christ unless you have his opinions, his values, and his judgments? And that's exactly what Jesus prayed for. That's his doxa. We call it glory in the King's English, but it's actually doxa. In John 17:21, that they may all be one, as thou art Father in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. So if you want to be one like Jesus was one, you've got to have the Word filling you. Okay? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And how does this happen? And the glory, the doxa, the opinions, values, and judgments which thou gavest me, I have given them. Why? That they may be one even as we are one. So you are one when you are filled with the Word. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. So you don't pray, well, God, I need a Cadillac. Pray, give me a Cadillac. It's not the thing God wants. you're going to get what God said he'd give you, okay? So Brother Branham says from water separation, he said, it's an individual affair. It's not a group of people. So those people say, well, you know what, if we all listen to the tapes at the same time around the world, 12 o'clock here, 12 o'clock in the other side of the world, then it's 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, you know, depending where you're at, well, then we're all going to, like magic, we're all going to bring down the rapture. We're going to make the second coming happen. Well, why don't you, tell you what, why don't you, they're doing it here at 12 o'clock, why don't you do it at 12 o'clock so the people in other parts of the world can do it at 12 noon? Why not? One month we'll do it our time, next month we'll do it their time, and spread the wealth around, because the token is the wealth, right? Okay. I'm just saying, why isn't it done that way? All right. So Brother Branham says from, again, it's an individual affair. It's not of groups of people. But it's to you as an individual. I don't care if you're in church, out of church. It's to you as an individual. That you yourself, as a soul human being, might forsake your own thoughts. You know, it's easy to listen to the message when you don't have a pair of eyeballs looking right at you. All right? Just as long as you have your own thoughts, your own ways, your ways are contrary to God's ways. And you cannot be right and think your own thoughts, for you've got to die to your own thoughts. And if you're just pushing a button and listening to the prophet and not speaking the words, you don't even know what you believe. Because every time a thought comes to your mind, you've got to take that thought, break it down into words. It comes as words. You have to break it down into thoughts, actually. And then you have to say, what scripture is it coming from? And if you don't do that, just listening, you're just like a baby listening to a rhythm of some, or a person wants to sleep, you know, this music or this water falling or whatever. That's all it is to you. But if you're actually studying the word while he's preaching, taking it to the scriptures while he's preaching, stop the tape. Levon's dad used to have people meet in the home, and they would listen to Brother Branham. He'd stop the thing. This is 50 years ago. And they stopped the recorder, and he'd say, now, okay, what's he talking about? Okay, he's talking about this. Making sure everybody understood what Brother Branham was saying. That's what a five-fold ministry is for. All right? Now, but you've got to die to your own thinking. Now, do you know that? Your thoughts, as long as you can look at it and look at it materially, you say, oh, well, that can happen. It's just not reasonable. Or that can't happen. It's just not reasonable. It's not sensible to even think such a thing. And as long as you do that, then you'll stay in your same condition. You get to a place where you cannot think your ways, but come into Christ and think his ways. Take his word. Well, if we're going to come in Christ, think his ways, then don't we have to take what Brother Branham's saying right to the word? Because he is the word. It all is just so simple. Okay? Then things begin to shape different. For you are dead and your life is hid in God through Christ and sealed by the Holy Ghost. That's a token. Now, Romans 8:1 says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, and what the flesh says, but walk after the Spirit. And that's in blue, as Brother Branham is still talking. Therefore, Brother Branham is warning us that what is coming will be so humble and so simple that many, didn't say few, says many will miss it, because they have not the token, and therefore have not the mind of Christ. But God will give grace to those who are humble and make a way for those who have his Spirit. You see? Or to see. Now, James 4:6 says, he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So it is not how big you can make yourself, it's how little, how humble you can be. In Psalm 10 and verse 17, it says, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their hearts. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. So the preparation causes the ear to hear. The more you study the word of what Brother Branham is saying taking it to the word, the more of the word you understand, the more then you understand what he's saying. It works in a circular way. Again, from the sermon Desperation, Brother Branson, now God, the Creator, can make a set of lungs. Okay, we've already read this, but I want to reemphasize. I truly believe that we're on the verge of one of the most mightiest things that ever struck the earth since the days of, Now, we can only be as it'll be so humble. See, what man calls mighty, God calls abomination, but what God calls foolish, God calls mighty. Or what man calls foolish, God calls mighty. See? But now watch, see, it'll be so humble that you'll miss it if you've not got the token there to examine it. You see? We see Jesus say the same thing in Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. You see, you've hid these things from those whose understanding is based upon a mere intellectual conception, and has revealed them unto babes, people who have humbled themselves to be taught. In fact, Brother Branham said, I've heard people say, well, I don't need my boy's 3-4 years old, I don't have to chew his food for him first and then give it to him. How many people have somebody chew their food for them? We don't do those kind of things. They said, so therefore I don't need a fivefold ministry. I can hear it right from the prophet. If you're not one of God's fivefold ministry, if you're not born again, I doubt you even understand what he's saying. All right? Brother Brown said, from current time, don't try to go away and get all of these big educations and scholarship and know God. You don't know God by scholastic. You know God by faith. You believe in him and God reveals himself to you. I like that, don't you? He's made so simple and so humble. Now, so humble and it's so simple till the wise people can't understand it. You can go over the Godhead time and time again and they'll come up with a different version of it. You can go over the parousia and they'll say, what's that? Well, it's the word that Jesus used as coming. And there's 23 times it's used, and 86 of the signs and events that John, Paul, Peter, James, and Jesus himself, 86 events and signs have already taken place. 82 of them have already taken place. There's only 4 left. All right? So it's so simplified till the wise don't even get it. They try to make it complicated to the church. They try to make it a great big lots of sanctifying things that you have to do, like 12 o'clock. I'm holy now. I'm following a certain person. I've got it made because I'm pushing this play. Are you really got it made? I'm doing these great things and I stop this and I do this and all this and that and the other. Why, it's not at all. Just believe it and accept it, and that settles it. How many people say, well, just believe the prophet, that's it? And they don't even know what he said. Now, you can't believe it unless you understand it. If I tell you something, say, just believe it, and you don't understand what I'm talking about, you don't believe it. You haven't even figured out what he's saying yet. You see, if I taught a child how to take one of the switches over there and wire it so that it only works on one light, if the next kid comes along and says, well, I can do what you can do, and tries to do it, he'll mess the whole thing up. They don't understand it. They haven't been taught. Okay? They say you have to do what the prophet said. And he said to go to church. They just say home and push play. Say home, push play. He said, say what I say. And they twist it and say, just push play what he said. He doesn't use the word push play at all. You can do a word search of the entire message and push play is not even mentioned by the prophet. He said, say what I say. That's it. Say. You see the difference. They will not humble themselves to say what the prophet says. Even when they quote the prophet, they're misquoting him. They're not taking verbatim what he said. They're putting it in their own words and saying it, yet they tell us not to do that. All right? They want you to only play it, and only when they call you to listen to the tape they dictate for you and when you are to do it. So we're going to play this sermon on this date. We're going to play it at 12 o'clock. We expect you to listen to it at 12 midnight. We expect you to listen to it at 3 o'clock. But everybody around the world is going to listen to it at the same time. That's Catholic. I was raised in the Catholic Church. Every church, in every diocese in the world, in every parish in the world, they have the same homily, they have the same scriptures, and they have the same text. And the priest just gets up there and just reads what the Catholic Church tells them to say. That's exactly what is taking place today. And they don't even know it's Catholic. They don't know that that's Catholic. It's a dumbed-down Christianity is what it is. They should be studying the Word to show themselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I'm sorry if I get a little hot. But I can't stand to see... I came into this message over 50 years ago. 52 years ago. And I can't stand to see what has happened to the average person who used to love Brother Branham. They loved the doctrine he taught, and they could take it to the scriptures, and now they can't take it to the scriptures because that's just a dusty old book to them. They don't even read Brother Branham to study it, underline it, put scriptures there. I can listen to it. He said, say what I say, and they twist it and say, push play what he said. You see the difference? They will not humble themselves to say what the prophet says. They want you to only play it. And only when they call you to listen to the tape they dictate for you, we're going to listen to this tape this week, and then when you're going to do it, I thought sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, not from Jeffersonville. And I'm not calling out a person. I'm just saying it's a whole group of people that believe that way. They want everyone to push play at the same time that they have set, as though magically something special will unite the bride and force them to Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible says? Until we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God. They don't even know if the Son is the Father. They don't. They all think, well, you know what? Jesus is God. Brother Branham said Jesus is not God, but the fullness of God was in him. There's a difference. God is in you. Are you God? Some people are teaching that in this message. Well, we're all God then. You know, they fill a glass and say all that was in the Father, he poured into the Son. They pour the water into the Son. They discard the Father. Then all that was in the Son, he poured into the church, and they discard the Son, and now we're all God. I had a man send me a letter to the church years ago. He said, hey, we've gotten rid of all of our taste because we're God now. We are the Word. And you're also lost. You're just a mental case for being a preacher. You can't fiddle with the Word. God is the Word. And you're fiddling with God and pieces of God when you do that. They want everyone to push play at the time that they have set, as though magically something's going to happen. And how can they say that they have the token if they disobey the prophet and won't say what the prophet said? Can you imagine the Apostle Paul said, you can only read my sermons. Same thing. And you can only read them at 12 o'clock, my time. So no matter where you are around the world, you pick up my sermon that my letter that I sent out. And we're all going to read it at 12 o'clock. And so you're going to have to read at 12 o'clock. Otherwise, you're disobedient. To who? Some Catholic organization? Listen, Brother Brown said, give the Pentecostal people 50 years and they'll be worse than the Catholic Church. You've got to take a stand for what you believe. You can't be wishy-washy, like focus on the family and everybody's a Christian. Everybody believes the message is a believer. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. No, they're not. I've said many, many times, if you got 1% of a million, there's 250 million people in the message. That's 200. That's 1% would be 25,000 max around the world. But you got a million in Congo DRC alone. And people are selling, they're taking their shoes off when they come into church and they leave them outside and somebody comes by and steals all their shoes. But they came in because the church is holy. Who said? What scripture says that? That's why the Bible says the delusions that God sends down are geared to the gullibility of those who are, what's the word to use? To those who are lost, okay? So, people are gullible. Look at in politics today, it's all gullible. Look at in education, all gullible. Health care, all gullible. The world has become fake because it's Satan's Eden. What can you expect? Okay? And could you imagine the followers of Paul saying you don't need Peter, James, and John, nor do you need to read Mark or Matthew or Luke? Come on! It's the same thing. He was a prophet for the age. And yet we've got Peter, James, John, Luke, Mark, you know, Matthew, etc. Peter, James, and John saw Christ in his glorification. They saw Moses and Elijah also. John saw his second coming. And you're going to tell me they're lost because they didn't read Paul's sermons? Could you imagine them saying, and you can't read Paul's letters until we do it 12 o'clock noon, our time, no matter where you are in the world, no matter if it is midnight or 3 in the morning, just be disciplined and you can do it. Why don't you be disciplined and say, you know what, there's more people around the world than there is in here, so we're going to do it at 12 midnight every day. How many people would spout the same doctrine? We're going to do it at 12 o'clock. Huh? How about if you said 3 o'clock, because that way it's going to be 3 in the afternoon. That's not so bad for people. And it'll be 12 and, you know, it'll be all the way. They won't do it because they only think of themselves. All right? That is Catholicism. The Catholic Church sends out, like I said, in their diocese, their homily, what portion of scripture read for each parish every Sunday. I thought sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, not by some organization. And trying to do God a service without his being his will. Brother Branham said, so say I in the name of the Lord, don't you add one thing or put your own ideas in it. You just say what is said on those tapes. You just do exactly what the Lord God has commanded us to do. Don't add to it. Well, is push play adding to it? Can I hear an amen? It's right. It is, if he never even said those words. And, you know, in order to say it, you've got to think about what's being said. Because, you know, like I said, every time there's communication, you have to decipher what's being said, then give it back, make sure that you got it right. If you don't say it back, you don't even know if you're lined up or not. You know, when a teacher teaches, he gives the student questions, and the student then shows whether he knows or not by giving the right answer. And the right answer is what the teacher already said. But if they don't even know enough to say it, if they just play it, then they're just sitting there like dead people, okay, spiritually. Now, Brother Vail said in the restoration of the bride tree, he said, categorically, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. He categorically said that nobody can add to or take a word from it. Therefore, he categorically said, just say what I say, not what anybody else says. That's why I don't give you just my thinking on it. I give you what the prophet says on it and what the word of God says on it so that you can make your own decision. You can, now you've got some tools to work with. So that's why we use Brother Bram and the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, because we are just saying what he said. And he said, I'm just saying what Paul said. And Brother Vail said in Facts of Our Faith, he said, then you wonder why we take a tough stand up here and people are hard against vindication. They can't understand vindication. Just say what the prophet said. See, But Brother Branham continues, God comes into the heart and he takes care of the rest. If he can ever gain a place in your heart, then the rest of it will take care of itself. I love that. In Psalms 69:32, we read, "The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God." In Psalm 34:2 says, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." So if you're listening to someone's telling you to push play and that's all you're doing, you're not listening to God, because the prophet said, "Say what I said." All right? So you're not humble then. Well, then you're not getting ready for the rapture. From Queen of Sheba, Brother Branham said, "Jesus was so much human, so much man, just a carpenter's boy, no education of the world that we know of, poor man. Where did he get his learning? He must have used his haint, totin, fetchin, carrying, like we would today, some grammar that wasn't polished up, said, school. What school did he come from? Where did he get any learning? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Why, he's so human till so real and so humble until it went over the heads of the people. They didn't understand it. If it would have been Caiaphas, the high priest, or some great polished scholar, oh, they'd say, yes, yes, your honor, honor reverend father, yes, we believe that. God brings it down to humility, and it passes the heads of the people. That's right. That's the way he's always done it. From Q&A on the seals. Now look at John, the prophet. He said, go ask him, is actually he the one? So humble till that prophet even missed it. A prophet missing the word. So humble. John, a prophet of God, missing the word. So you don't think other prophets do? Brother Justin preached on that a couple weeks ago. So I do not care if you are a fivefold prophet. It is so humble, you're missing it. Said, he is the one, or do we seek another? Now, we never give him a book for them them disciples in Matthew 11. Come and ask him when John's disciples. Neither did they even receive a tape. John was in prison, so he'd been also scrupled up till, I believe, as Pember said, his eagle eyes got filmed over down there, you see, and he couldn't. He done come down to the earth. He'd been up in the air, but when his prophecy was over, he dropped back down to the ground again. Now look at the way God uses man. God doesn't do things because man asks him to do it. So if somebody says, well, play the tape, this tape, it's at 12 o'clock, we don't follow man. We follow God. God does what he wills to do, not what you will him to do. God used John the Baptist to bring forth an introductory message of his son. That's it. And when his introduction to the message was over, John came down to earth, so to speak, lest any man get puffed up and begin to think, look what I've done, and takes credit for what God done. The human way is to work and work and work and work your way up until you can rest on what you have accomplished. You can point to what you have done and say, each week we have made a great sacrifice and we have listened to what tape is being played, even if it's midnight or 3 a.m. We are listening to what is played in Jeffersonville at 12 noon. That's not humble. That's pride. And pride goeth before what? A fall. But God's way is to do what he wills and nothing more and nothing less. When he is done, he will call you home. That keeps man humble. And God's prophet never said push play anywhere in the sermons on tape. That is simply a marketing scheme. They're selling tapes, so everybody has to push play and listen to tapes. Or come to our website so you can do it. They're saying push play. Do a Google search on your own. Push play, according to Wikipedia, was an American rock pop band formed on Long Island, New York in 2006. Push play is an Instagram webpage. Push play is an ad for Skullcandy brand earbuds, Active Wireless. Push play songs and lyrics are on Spotify. Push play is on Apple Music. Push play entertainment is a website. You have a website trying to capitalize on the name of by using push play feet. It's a different person altogether, but they're using it to draw people to their website. Push play, gaming for a better world. Push play, taking your life off pause. Push play, hope for a life on pause. Aerosmith said, just push play. Push play for gaming. Push play, taking your life off pause. Push play, creative. And I could go on and on because I only did one page out of dozens of pages. All right? NCF Soft says, officially uses the slogan push play to represent its the commitment to technology innovation and user experience imagination. Sony uses the slogan play has no limits, often associated with the phrase push play. So it's a global slogan. It's a global brand slogan. So I ask you, can you do a message search for push play? You can search every word of Brother Branham, and it is not there. No, Brother Branham never said it at all. So it is a heresy, and they call the parousia heresy. It's in the Bible, it's the 23 times. It was just in Greek, but it's still a word. And it's simply in English, it means presence. So Brother Branham said it in English 4,000 times. He said the English, because he wasn't preaching Greek. He was preaching the word in English. All right? So I ask you, can you do the same, a message search for push play? You can't do it. When Brother Branham said, say what is on the tapes, he said what he meant, and he meant what he said. But people will not even talk the message, much less quote it the way that he said it. But we must say what is on the tapes. That is the reason why the understanding of what the message has been has become blown far away from what he said, is because they come together and listen, but until they actually say what he says, they do not know whether they are getting it right or not. It's like I hear all the time, people quoting Brother Branham and saying, the evidence that you are born again and having received the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that you believe the message for the hour. They say it in almost every church. And the same people can't even tell you what the message is. Oh, God's in a problem. It's more than God's in a problem. Didn't Malachi 4, which Brother Branham referred to many times, say that the prophet would return the hearts, in other words, return the understanding of the people to the original church? That's exactly. So, but some of these people will say, well, say what's on the tape, but say only what's on the tape, yet these same people will not say what's on the tape. They'll say push play. You know, I get a kick out of the hypocrisy. They love the sign from God, which is the prophet, but they reject the voice of the sign, which is the doctrine that he brought. And in fact, Brother Branham said, they claim to believe Paul, yet they won't teach what Paul says. Now, listen, God told me to preach this. So if you want to fuss with anybody about it, you fuss with God. I only say what he said, and I say what the prophet said. I stick with the scriptures. God is a word, I stick with the word. And take it to what Brother Branham said and back and forth. So you understand. If we claim to believe the message of the hour is our evidence of being born again, then there must be a way of expressing that belief, or else that belief is not even a genuine belief. And that faith is not a genuine revelation from God. In order to say what is on the tape, you have to understand what was said. And to do that, you need to have the same Holy Ghost, which is a token, to understand what he is saying on those tapes that he had. Furthermore, Brother Branham said from Anointed Ones, he said, now I want you to know this is sure, mark it down, and you that's listening to this tape, so he's talking about tape listeners, you might have thought. Remember, he also told us in all these things I read you today, he said, you can't think your own thoughts. You got to think God's thoughts. But you might have thought that I was trying to say this about myself. That's your understanding from listening to their tapes. Being that I was packing this message. But I have no more to do with it than nothing. No more than just a voice. So he even tells us that those who listened to the tapes got it wrong and thought things that are not true just because he was the one packing the message. So listening alone does nothing for you. You better study it. Brother Branham talked about people that had a tape ministry. And he said, Brother so-and-so goes from this place to this place to this place, you know, but the old brother. But he said that they talk it afterwards. They talk what they've heard. And they compare it with the scriptures. Not just, oh, I listened to it. Well, I've listened to 10 tapes. I've listened to 100 tapes. I've listened to 1,000 tapes. Good for you. I've heard people in Baptist church and everything. Well, I've read the Bible 3 times. I say, okay, tell me what it says. You don't even know. You have to be anointed with the same spirit as he was anointed with to understand what he is even saying. And he's continuing. He says, and my voice, even against my better judgment. My better judgment. I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my father that I declare to do and determine to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down in the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happens as perfect as they are. I'm only one that is near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's just what I surrendered myself to that he spoke through. It isn't me. It wasn't the seventh angel. Oh, no. It was a manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel, his message. It was a mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man. It's God. The angel was not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. What does Christ mean? The anointer. He is the one that you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail. But you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. If you haven't fed fully on every word to give yourself strength to fly over all these denominations and things of the world, will you at this time do it? While we pray. That's a mouthful. From the third seal, Brother Branham said, the Bible said that everything will be so great in that day, even to all the high places will be made low, and all the low places will be brought up. Yes, sir. And all the rough places will be made plain. Now, why do you think the people missed Christ at his first coming? Because they were looking for the high places to be lowered. The mountains got to come down, and the low places got to come up. And no, he was talking about the intellectual. He was talking about the high places and, you know, the Caiaphases of this world. They would be brought down. And the low people, the humble people, they would be exalted, okay? Why? I can't imagine seeing them out there. John would come out, or this great forerunner of Christ, and just take all the desert and smooth it out and put grass on it again. That's what they thought. They didn't understand the word. Oh, then I imagine that they had it all fixed up about like they do today. But it was so humble. Is Jesus Christ not the same yesterday, today, and forever? Like today? But it was so humble, even the apostles missed it. The apostles. They said, well, why does the scripture say you're going up there to be offered up now? Why does the scripture say Elias must first come? And he said, he's already come and you didn't even know it. And the Son of Man, they'll do the same thing. They've done it. They thought it was William Branham. It was God came down. God came down with a shout. We've all seen the picture. A shout, a voice, a trump. He is doing all these things. You can't do it. No man can do it. William Branham could get up here and hocus pocus all day long. It wouldn't happen. Brother Branham said, I can speak all day long to you. It won't happen unless I see it in a vision. Then I watch it come to pass. Then I can say, thus saith the Lord. But John, he said, did just what was listed of him to do, and they'd done to him just what they were supposed to do, and said, so must the Son of Man be suffered. Why? There wasn't, I guess, 1/3 of the whole Jewish race ever know that Jesus was on earth. They might have heard of some fanatic down wrong there somewhere. They didn't, but they didn't pay any attention to it. Just going on. It's like modern day evangelicals, they think, oh, we gotta lift up Israel. We got everything Israel doing. We can't say a word against it, or we're speaking against Israel. Hogwash.
Every apostle, every prophet that came on the scene spoke against Israel. They spoke against the government. They spoke against the wickedness in high places. You have a right to do that. You're not supposed to sit passively and say, well, if they say it, I guess it's okay. No, it's not okay. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Look, people want to think that William Branham was omniscient, but he was not. Only God is omniscient. God kept many things back from his servant. God kept back his mother's death. God kept back his brother's death and his father's death. God kept back the death of his wife and baby, Sharon Rose. And the visions God gave him, he even said, many times I do not know what they mean until I see them come to pass. And we know that God interprets his own word by bringing it to pass. So at least he had the patience to wait for the thing to start folding or unfolding. That is why there are so many prophecies in the Bible, something like 2,500. And when God brings it to pass, you can look and see the manifested word and then go to our Bibles and say, this is what God meant when he said this. That's why if you don't know the Bible, then God can be doing things and bringing things to pass and you don't even know it. All right? But we should never get ahead of the picture. Faith is a waiting game. We must wait until God sees, until we see God's word taking shape, and then we will know that it is what he meant and when he said thus. And as Brother Branham said, God brings his word to pass in such a humble and simple way that if you are not aware, it will pass right by you and you will not even notice it. I know I should get that quote up because I preached on it before. Brother Branham said the rapture could pass right through you and you wouldn't even know it unless you're aware. How are you going to be aware if you just, well, I believe everything the prophet said? That only means you can understand. That's what he said. I can give you the quote there. I'd probably do it on my phone if I left my phone in the back room. I can show you the prophet said, that doesn't mean nothing. It just means that you can read. And reading isn't hearing, it's reading. See? Because a vindicated prophet said, when you think you have it all figured out, no one thing for certain, you don't. From the message, pride, he said, now, as I was saying, the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, and it's written in such a way that there's no way at all for man or his mental conception to understand what it is. Did you know he said that about his preaching? He said, we must say the word in such a way, it'll cause some to go out, some to ponder over, and some just don't believe because they don't understand it. But we, he said, have to do it that way. No matter, well then if you're listening to just tapes, and Brother Branham actually puts it in there kind of confusing sometimes, it's because you don't know the word. All right? Then it's confusing. You ponder over it, and you go out. No matter how well you get it wrote out, see, that's what the people, the believe the sign guys, they didn't believe the word. They didn't know the word. They just, for 30 years, they led songs in a big church and they thought they had it. So then one day they come across a few things that kind of, they question. Well, now Brother Branham's a liar. Well, maybe you're the liar. Many times people think somebody's lying when they're actually the one who's lying. Or they're seeing what the person said. They're not understanding what the person said. They're misinterpreting what the person said. And they're calling him a liar when it's not, has nothing to do with it, like they did with Brother Branham. So look at the Pharisees and Sadducees of the days of our Lord Jesus. How that they had it all figured out just to the dot. How that Christ would come and everything and when he came. Notice, same thing. How he'd come, what message we're going to listen to, and when it's going to be said, okay? He come vice versa from what they had figured out just to show that he is God. And it was, he did not come contrary to Scripture. He come contrary to their conception of the Scripture. But he come exactly the way the Scripture said, exactly. From God hiding himself in simplicity, Brother Branham, God's prophet, he said, God makes himself so humble, so simple, that he just goes plumb over the top of the people. The wise are so smart, that little peanut brain, you know, you think that's kind of rude? People accuse me of being rude. Hey, Brother Bram said they got a peanut brain. You know, they've got it all figured out, and you can't tell them nothing about it. The world can't rise. The sun can't rise. The world can't turn turn without their knowledge of it, you see. But God just moves right over the top of them and just lets them sit there. That's just the way he does. Yes, sir. And from world falling apart, he said, the religious world was looking for the promised Messiah. The Jews all would tell you, very staunch believers, sure, we've been 4,000 years looking for the Messiah, and we believe that he's coming. Certainly we believe it. The political world of that day were looking for the Messiah, and all the rest of the nations, each one was looking for the Messiah. And when he did come, they did to him just like they did to all the others. They was looking for this something to hold them together in the days of Noah. And when God sent them a messenger, what happened? They turned it down. And they're looking for it in all ages. That's the way it happens. God will send it to them, and then they just turn it down. Because why? It doesn't meet their taste. See? They don't want it the way that God sends it. They want it the way they want it. They've got it all figured out the way it must be. And if it doesn't come that way, then it isn't of God. If you don't push play, it's not of God. I don't care if you're anointed with the same Spirit of God, you could be preaching everything the prophet said and still be a false prophet. That's what they're saying, and yet they're preaching the false things by saying push play. And you can only push play, and there's no true fivefold ministry. Now listen, I don't know how many true fivefold ministers there are. I would say this, if you are a minister out there and you're not sure if you're really called, then just play the tapes. The people will be blessed. But at least they're coming together, licks of fire coming together, they're getting it. Then they converse with each other about things that the prophet said. Okay? If you are thinking that you're called, then are you saying what the prophet said and taking it to the scripture? Because if you're not, then you're not really a true fivefold minister. You're just a lecturer or just some person that has a leadership spirit on him. So just get humble, everybody. Get humble. Am I doing what God wants me to do? From putting on the whole armor of God, they just don't realize it. Yes, building great big roads and super things like that and trying to make the earth a better place and so forth, they don't realize that the meek's going to inherit it. So there you are. So just see, God's got it all figured out for us. That's the only thing that we have to do is just hold on to him. And what is he? The Word. And just go right on. If you have all believing, that's all he asks us to do. He will take care of us right through. From God in simplicity, he said, remember, friends, don't look for anything great. See, God, he speaks of great big things. They'll come there'll be this and or that or the other great big things. I hope you're catching what I'm talking about, see? Great big things, see? And oh, when this comes to pass, it'll be great. Big like this. And it'll be so humble, you'll miss the whole thing and go right on. Well, if we can get everybody in the world to listen to the same tape, we're coming to the unity of the mind. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says he's got a fivefold ministry until the saints are unified, the unity of the faith, and they understand the doctrine of Christ. They understand the Son of God. See? But you look back and say, well, that never did come to pass. See? Passed right over the top and you never even seen it. See? It's so simple. God lives in simplicity to manifest himself in greatness. What makes him great? Because he can simplify himself. Now listen, I am not preaching about any individual in this message. Get me straight. I'm talking about half the people in this message right now. have deserted their churches everywhere, and they're listening to the same tape at the same time. Can you imagine trying to get up at 12 o'clock? You don't even have a clock. You don't have a cell phone. How are you going to do it? They say, Brother Brown said, if you don't have the token, you know what? They say, push play. You know what? I can go to 250 different languages, and it doesn't say push play in all but two. Okay? That's right. It says, you know, and I could read you the Spanish, but I forgot it already. Or the Greek, I forgot it already. Or the German, I forgot it already. But every one of them says something different. All right? A big, great man can't simplify himself. He's got to be a dignitary. I won't say it. I won't say it because that might... Anyway, I've got a certain relationship, okay? But he ain't big enough yet. When he comes big enough, then he comes down like you. You see? Can humble himself. I don't think any minister in this message needs bodyguards. I don't care how many times your life has been threatened. My life has been threatened as many as anybody else's. I have had people send me emails in the shape of a pistol. I've had people tell me, if you come to this place, you're going to be killed. I don't care, because I want to go home. And if God don't protect me, then I'll go home. But if he protects me, those things won't even happen. But they've got to have bodyguards surrounding them, because somebody said one time, you know, I'm going to kill you. Good grief. How many people in here have not ever had anybody say, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to bash your head in. Have you ever had that happen? Have you? Sarah, you've had, everybody, we've all had it. We don't need bodyguards because somebody threatened us. God is our protector. He's our shield. From identification, he said, now sometimes faith is unknown to you, but you've got it and you don't even know it. If you try to push yourself into something, you're going to miss it. You go over the top and it's so humble and simple, see? And he is a high priest that can be touched by our infirmities. And from Jesus Christ the same, but you know, he don't always come the way that you think he's going to come. He comes so humble, the people got it all fixed up the way that they want him to come. If we all push play at the same time, he's going to come. No, he's not. He's going to put it off until you all humble down and get the same spirit those people on the other side had. In when Brother Branham went over there, he said, only perfect love will get you in there. And we walk over humility. And there's where you find, and that's where you find God. Scientists today can send a man into space in an orbit and walk over the blade of grass that he knows nothing about. See? Or you got to humble yourself to God. You've got to get rid of your own ideas and just open up your heart and life to him. Then he'll make himself known. From the third seal. Now, it's the same thing today when it rises on the scene. Now, God said in Malachi 4 that he would send the message in the last days that would restore. Restore what? The heart. What's that? The understanding. They can say, well, Brother Branham didn't say that. They said, the word says, Isaiah said, Ezekiel said, Joel said, I will restore all the years. Everything that Rome eat up, and everything that the Methodists eat up, and everything the Baptists eat up off the original Pentecostal branch. Brother Branham's giving an illustration because Joel, in his mind, didn't even know about Rome and Methodists and Baptists. That was hundreds of years before Jesus even came. But Brother Branham's pointing Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God said, I'll send somebody to do it. I will restore in the last days. That's right. And he can send us such a person that will be. The only thing that God ever sent his word to was a prophet. Not to a reformer, to a prophet. It wasn't the hour for it. Now it's getting to be the hour, and that's the reason that we are watching for it to come to pass. It'll be so humble and gentle and so... And from, we've seen a star, he said, they haven't got it today. They don't know what these things are, where they ought to know it, where the great heads of the church ought to be aware of these things. But God always works in the minority, not the biggest church in the world, the humblest, the smallest. And so humble that it goes right over the top of them. They don't know it. But yet he fulfills his word like that. See? That's it. We get our own selves twisted up in these great big things and we can't move. God cut us free from them things. That we can see what the hour that we're living is. If God has to work through a dream again, he can reveal it to you. Certainly he can. We're living in the last days, so listen now. And from the seventh seal. Now, could you imagine when this person comes on the scene, and when he does, remember, it'll be so humble and things till the churches will miss it all along. The churches. Brother Brown said, you can't live any higher than your pastor. Why? Because if the pastor's teaching right, you're going to live higher. But if the pastor's not teaching, you're not going to live higher. And could you imagine the churches still under the tradition of the reformers would ever receive a prophet from God who would be firmly against their teachings and organizations? Huh? The prophet of God who would be against their teaching and organization. Now, there's only one person who could fulfill that. Only one spirit ever been on the earth that I know. And it would have to be Elijah in his time. And it was predicted that it would be, which is nothing but the Spirit of Christ. When Christ come, he was a fullness. He was a prophet. He was a God of the prophets, you see. In Matthew 3:23-12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Matthew 18:4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is great in the kingdom of God. And yet, I hear it time and time. Nobody's going to teach me. I've got a prophet. Well, you really do, huh? You're not listening to what the prophet said. From Q&A on the seals, would the bride of Christ have a ministry before the rapture? Sure. Now listen to that. Is it push play? He didn't say that, did he? That's what's going on right now. The bride of Christ, certainly. It is the message of the hour. See, the bride of Christ, sure. She consists of apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors, is right now. So if you don't believe in those five gifts to the church, you don't believe what he just said. You're preaching a false message. That's the bride of Christ. Sure, that's the bride of Christ. She's got a ministry, great ministry. It's the ministry of the hour, but it'll be so humble. You think push play is a humble ministry? Then you don't even understand the word ministry. It comes from the word minister. Used 182 times in the New Testament. 168 as minister and 120 some as ministry. And it speaks of a teacher. Used in scripture, those who teach and speak the gospel to others. So if they're saying push play is a ministry, then why aren't they teaching? Because they don't understand what the word ministry means. They think, let your fingers do the walking, like in the Yellow Pages. Same difference. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Lift you up. There's your rapture. And it will be so humble that only the humble will be aware of it. From the fourth seal, he said, now the last message they get is when this prophet that I've been speaking of, which I've been reading many books about, and I know that real good, sensible, spiritual thinking men know that that's coming. See, they know it's coming. See, but the trouble of it is they keep saying, we need it. It's going to be. And when it comes, then they'll be so humble, they'll probably miss it. And it'll be so humble, they'll probably miss it just like they did the other time. Brother Branham was sitting in a church, the pastor's own kitchen, and having breakfast in Chicago. He was a very famous pastor. I won't say his name. And he said, "Lord, send us the prophet. Lord, send us the prophet." And the prophet was sitting across the table from him. But it was so humble. They said, "Well, he don't got an education." And he said, "You say that, but," he said, "I know the author pretty good." See? If you know the one who wrote this Bible, you're going to know the Bible. That's right. People write about it and everything else and say, "Oh, yes, it needs to be." And then let it be showed right before them, and they just go right on. See? They've always done that. In 1 Peter 5:6, it says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." The first seal says, now look at Malachi 4 just a minute. Well, you just mark it down. He is a prophet and restores the original faith, the original revelation of the fathers. That's what faith means, a revelation. That's what this prophet said. Faith is a revelation. Now we're looking for that person to appear on the scene. He'll be so humble that the 10 millions times 10 millions will, there'll be a little group that'll understand it. Just a little group. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus saith the Lord, the high and lofty one, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy places, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite." Are you contrite? Do you look and say, "God, I don't care how many things you've used me for, am I pleasing you today? Am I living for you today? Or have I somehow gone by the wayside?" From God in Simplicity, the Methodist said, when he shouted, he had it, but they didn't. The Nazarene said, when they lived holy, they had it, but they didn't. The Pentecostal said, "We speak in tongues, we've got it," but they didn't. See, God unfolding himself. When we push play, we've got it. No, you don't. It's not in sensations, not in what your fingers can do. No. That sensations yet is with it. You see the place? He just gets it to so humble till anybody can see it. And if you don't try to inject your own mind to it, see, and your own thoughts, just don't do that. 1 Peter 5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." Did they ever submit themselves to the elder? That was Brother Vale for many years. He was the elder in this message. Did they submit themselves? No, they wouldn't even have an audience with him. They wouldn't even seek his advice on anything. They go to people of like-minded. All right? "Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Now, I'll give Brother Billy Paul a lot of credit. Brother Billy Paul had a good relationship with Brother Vale. And Brother Billy Paul told me, he said, "I wish every minister would do what you're doing and take Brother Branham, what he said, and take it to the scriptures." That's what Billy Paul said. He said, "There's a line, there's a sight here in the front of the gun, that's the word, and a sight here, that's Brother Branham, and we line those two up together, and then you have it." That was Billy Paul. It's not being said today. Say, we don't need the hindsight. We're going to just, or we don't need the front sight. We're just going to shoot from the hip, so to speak. From surge, we would say, "Jesus," he said, "but remember, before this happens, the church has to go." Amen. So we're at the end time. We're right at the shadows of his coming right now. You know, I've been preaching on the resurrection, the attitude, and the atmosphere. And today we're looking at how to get into that atmosphere. You've got to humble yourself before the mighty God and start over all your thinking. Say, "Lord, let me be clear. It's what the prophet said, one sight, and what the Bible says is my other sight. And I will do, line those two up. And if they line up, then I know for certainty that I understand what the prophet is saying."
I'm so thankful to see that he's come down to prove his word, if it's before a dozen or before a million. But it'll pass right through the people, and millions will never know about it. It's always been that way, and it's always will be that way. Then they wonder sometimes, well, I really didn't know it. Got eyes, but can't see. Watch him now. As this woman touched his garment, and she received, Jesus looked all around and said, "Who touched me?" Peter said, "Well, everybody's touching you." And he looked around. And he said, "I got weak. Somebody." And he said, "It's you." And you with the blood issue there, your faith has saved you. It's all over. That was Jesus yesterday. And when he left, he said, "A little while and the world won't see me, but you'll see me because I'll be with you, even in you until the end of the world." From presence of God and recognize, he said, "I tell you, friends, just because that we're members of the church or something like that, that doesn't mean too much to us. You better buckle up that armor. You better take that whole word of God and hold on to it and quit this Hollywood acting around us. It's got right into the church and it's a shame. But Hollywood glows, just makes a big bright light. And the church today is trying to compare with Hollywood. Christ is not in Hollywood. Christ is in the individual. Hollywood glows. Hollywood glare. Well, the gospel glows with humility. God ain't in these great, fine, fancy places and all this stuff that we see. He comes in humility in the form of meekness and gentleness, passes right through. And if you're acquainted with the word, you'll see it. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. See? Just have a couple pages left. 2 Chronicles 3:34-27. Because thine heart was tender, do we have a tender heart? And thou didst humble thyself before God. Are we doing that? When thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbled thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes, and weep before me, I have even heard thee, saith the Lord. Before you even do it, and get on your knees and cry out to God, he's already heard what you're going to say. Now you've got to step into the water to make it part. From doors in a door, he says, "Oh, sure, we want Jesus, certainly. We think we got him and all like that. But I wonder if that rapture could pass and we'd be left alone one day, then wonder where it's all at. If it come by real secretly, you know, and that's what is coming like a thief in the night, 99, I think he is talking about 99% here, out of every million will never know the rapture takes place." Do the math. 99 of 1 million is 0.000099. Because he says 99 out of 1 million will never know it. But I'm sure that he's talking in generalities, because if only 99 persons out of every 1 million persons will not know the rapture has taken place, then on the contrary wise, that means that 999,901 out of every million people will know. That's a lot of people. And if there are 8 billion people on the earth, then 7,999,208,0 people will know. So I don't know if he's talking in generalities, but because that would mean that almost 8 million people would know the rapture has taken place. And since there are around 2.5 million people who claim the message in one form or another, then that is very possible. Because even the foolish version knew that they missed it. It'd be gone and they won't even know nothing about it. Jesus said so. So that makes it right. See, certainly. It'll come like a thief in the night and be stolen away. Look like that book I read one time. What was it called? Romeo and Juliet or something like that. See, he come and got her in the nighttime. That's the way Jesus is going to do. When the world just lolling in sleep, like the Bible said, the Laodicean age, he'll slip in and get that right. I think it should be pronounced lazy deceived people, said Laodicean. Lazy deceived, because people don't study. They can study for everything else, but they won't study the Word.
2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive them their sins and will heal their land."
The Lord just wants one more time, he said. You know, one time Jesus was asked the question, he said, "Why does the scripture say that Elias must come first?" And Jesus said, "I say unto you, he's already come, and you didn't even know it." One of these days, you're going to say, now, why didn't the apostles know it? I'll just ask you this. Anybody know why the apostles didn't know it at that time? Because 1 Corinthians 2 says, if they got the Holy Ghost, they'll know it. So then they didn't know it because they didn't have the Holy Ghost. You see? And Jesus said, "I say unto you, he's already come, and you didn't know it." One of these days, you're going to say, "Well, I thought the church was going had to do this and that and the other. I thought there'd be a rapture. I thought, see, it may be a secret catching away. If you took one here in Hot Springs, and one somewhere else, and one down there, one there, we'll make up literally millions of those that come up out of the ground. And there's at least 500 people every day missed in the world. And we don't even know where they went." See, the rapture is going to make up of all those who sleep in the dust of the earth. That's right, with God. They'll say, "Well, I thought the rapture's taking place. It's already passed and you didn't know it. You knew it not. You're left." See, "Well, everything's going." "See, yes, sir. It's a secret coming. The rapture has come and to steal away." Like that book I read many times, what's it? Romeo and Juliet, okay? All of a sudden, they cry, and away they went. Now, from the absolute, he says, "We think this great big bunch of cannon fodder here," and that's not a very nice thing to say, but it's true, because the saints come. Listen, it's biblical. The saints, who could tell me what scriptures for the people being called cannon fodder? The saints come out on the ashes of the wicked. You see, it's in the Bible. All right? "We think this great big bunch of cannon fodder here, atomic ash, is going. It'll only go if it's got the life of Christ in it, because God will raise it up." That's right. There'll be a rapture, you think, two or three people here and one over there and somewhere else, somebody come up missing and thought they'd run away from home, and better be careful, they might be gone. Looking for a rapture and it's already passed. Now that isn't contrary to the Word. No, it isn't. He come like a thief in the night, see? They'll be gone before you know it. God places his great power out in the church, see? It don't take a great big group in. It takes a minority. "Fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good will." You that's holding to the absolute, that's right, with the confirmation of God's word in it. So, are you all living and breathing and hoping and praying that your soul is right before God to make a rapture? Or are you living contrary to that, fussing and stewing and carrying on, and everything that somebody says to you is contrary to what you think? Well, you better change your mind. You better take the mind of Christ. You that's holding to the absolute, that's right, with the confirmation of God working in it. From God in simplicity, he said, he's already told us this. The rapture, then judgments will strike, sin, plague, sickness, and everything. The people will cry for death to take them when the judgment. Lord, why is this judgment upon us when you said that there'd be a rapture first, and he will say, it's already come, and you didn't even know it. God hiding himself in simplicity, oh my, all right, it's already happened and you knew it not. Why don't believers believe the simple signs of his coming? They're expecting all these things that's spoken of in the scripture, and the moon's going to go down in the middle, the sun in the middle of the day, and there's going to be all kinds of things. How many people have told you that when the four blood moons came? Well, we're looking for the sun to go down for 3 days. Then when they have a day of darkness because there's clouds, they tell them, is this it? Oh, if we just had, I got notes wrote here on it, see, to show what them things are, and we'll get to it on the breaking of these seals this week anyhow. See, there it is. just where it's already passed and you didn't even know it. See if it is. If the angel of the Lord will break them seals for us, remember, it's sealed with them seven mysterious thunders. See? It's sealed with them seven mysterious thunders. So when the thunder roared, it was a page being unsealed. That's what the prophet said. Why are people preaching in this message that there's seven seals to come? And there's going to be seven messengers revealed. It's already been revealed. It's the thunder. It's the ripping open of the seal. Well, I've said enough. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, to give me the strength. And Lord, I can honestly say in my heart, I do not hate anybody, and I'm just only preaching what your word says. And Lord, you told me to say these things. And so, Father, I just do this at your will, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.